بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي جعل الحمد مفتاحا لذكره وثمنا لنعمائه، ومعاذا من بلائه، ووسيلا إلى جناني، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الرسل والهادي إلى خير السبل، إمام الأمة أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. وصلى الله عليك أيها المظلوم وابن المظلوم، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى الأرواح التي هلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام عليكم جميع شهداء كربلاء ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام عليكم أئمة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين عليهم السلام. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل محمد وعلى محمد. Yesterday we began to speak about the rights of leaders, حق الأئمة. As Imam Zain al-Abidin عليه الصلاة والسلام, he mentions in the Risalة al-Huquq, the treaties of rights. As we mentioned, Imam Zain al-Abidin, he lists a number of different terms within the Risalة al-Huquq for a leader. These words, they have different literal meanings, but all in all, Imam Zain al-Abidin, his point is, or what he wants to make very evident, is that what is the rights of a leader over those who follow the leader, and what is the rights of the followers over the leader himself. The terms that Imam Zain al-Abidin uses, one is Imam, which literally means leader, someone who is in front. Another term that he used is sultan, meaning one who has power. And quite often, sultan is used for someone who has political power. Another term that is used in Risalat al-Huquq to identify a leader is ra, which literally means shepherd, meaning as a shepherd, someone leads their flock. Ra, the leader, and ra'iyya means the flock. So Imam Zain al-Abidin, he uses all of these terms just to define a leader. But in the end, Imam Zain al-Abidin, he says, "Kullu sa'isin imamun," that everyone who trains others, who stands before others, that people follow and they gain some sort of knowledge from that individual, that he's an imam, he's a leader. That's in its most general sense. As we mentioned, that a leader, he has certain qualities. An individual who is the rightful leader, whether he is Imam al-Khas, meaning specifically the Imam that is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say Imam al-Khas and one who is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this encompasses the prophets. They have a station of imamate, many of them, especially the Ulul Azm. So Imam al-Khas, meaning the prophets, meaning the 12 imams as we know them, that they have to have certain qualities. They have to be just. They have to be upright. They have to have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to, you can say, the general concept of an imam, the imam al-am. Likewise, Imam Zain al-Abidin, he says that there should be at least certain qualities, certain qualifications. And that is left up, in a general, especially in a time of ghaiba, to the ummah, to identify those individuals who follow the path of the Prophet and of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wa salatu wa salam, who continue that seerat, who continue that path of being just, of being upright, of not only observing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over him, by meaning that they are not doing any sins, any grave sins, they are just, they are people who encourage others to observe the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them. They themselves observe the rights, their rights over others, and the rights that others have over them. These are just general qualities. And many of these qualities, we can find them in the Talbiyah Masal, the book of Islamic law, under the title of Taqlid. Many of these things are mentioned there, that, you know, what should the qualities that a mujtahid should have? He should not be seeking the dunya, he should not be... He should be just, he should be upright, he should be knowledgeable about the Qur'an and the Sunnah. These are the general qualities that one who stands out in front of others as a leader, he should have these qualities. But likewise, if we take that concept that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi afsalatu wasalam is explaining in Risalat al-Huquq, this idea will also apply to individuals who are serving in the community. That if there's an individual who's in the community, he's helped establish a community, he's on, let's say, a board, an executive board or a board of directors, in some sense he is a leader. He has responsibility of leadership. He has the responsibility also of how that center is going to be managed and read. So if he's not even the imam of that center, meaning that he's leading the salat, perhaps he has sulta. He has some sort of executive power within that center. And if he does, then again, they are responsible for those rights that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he mentions in Risalat al-Huquq. And we can see that this is also something that the Prophet of Islam, he also emphasized on a number of occasions. One of the most famous statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that "Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyyati," that each and every one of you is a shepherd, and you are responsible for your sheep, for your flock. That if you are married, you have a family, then you are Ra. You're shepherds, and you're responsible for your family. This is whether you are the husband in your family or whether you're the wife in the family. You have responsibility of your flock, of your household, of those individuals who are looking to you for guidance. And that sense of guidance, that sense of responsibility, it is founded upon just the most basic and general concept of walaya, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about in the Quran. He says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says that the believing men and believing women, you are the awliya of one another, meaning that you have authority over one another, you have responsibility for one another, based on that principle of amr bil ma'roof wa nahy al munkar. That you're enjoining one another for good, and you're preventing one another from doing wrong. So if you want to understand the basic responsibility of a leader, it is that wilaya. To ensure that those who are following him are doing what they should do. Amal bil ma'ruf wa nahy al munkar. And in fact, that is the right of the followers over the leader, over that individual who is the Ra, who is the leader, who is in a position of leadership or has a position of authority and responsibility over others. That those who are following, they have that right that they are not being deceived or misguided, that they should be guided in the proper direction. That whatever the leader is doing in his management, that management should be based on truth. That management should be based on observing the rights of one another. That's the basic foundation of leadership.
Takbir! Allah Akbar.
As we mentioned, Imam Ali alayhi wasallam, he spoke about leadership. I just used him as an example of how an individual at the caliber of Imam Ali alayhi wasallam, that how humble this individual is, that he will give you knowledge of what's between the heavens and the earth. But yet he's humble to say that, look, yes, I have rights over you because of the wilayat that Allah has given me over you. But at the same time, you have rights over me. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he explains the wisdom of that and the responsibility of those rights. That what is the purpose of that? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given rights of a leader over his people and rights to the people over the leader? That what is the outcome? What is the conclusion of that? Why is it important? It is important, as Imam Ali, he states, that that system of rights between the leader and the followers and the followers and the leader, he says that it is a system, نظام ألفتهم. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, it is a system of ulfa. Ulfa means of harmony between them, connection, intimacy. If you say that you're intimate with someone, that meaning that you have affection for that a person, that you care for someone, this is ulfa. So that system of rights is to create that sympathy that a leader should have for his followers, and the followers should have for the leader. So it's nidhamun ulfatihim wa izzan lidinihim, and it is a system whereby it should bring about dignity for their way of life, for their deen, for their religion. وَقِوَامًا لِسُنَنِ الْحَقِّ And it was a system whereby the ethos, the manners of justice, the manners of rights should be established upon. So we see that when we have leaders in our community at different levels, whether they are the imam, the khatib, they are speaking, they are the executive board, or they are taking charge of the youth committee, then they have to observe these rights. Because by observing the rights of one another, then you create harmony, you create affection between one another. You actually create a very strong community. If that element is missing, then turmoil comes about. There's fighting, there's disagreement. There's no one that doesn't say that you can't disagree. Yes, we can disagree, but that disagreement should not split us to the point that we are not observing one another's rights. This is something that is incumbent upon us. Imam Zain al-Abidin says the first right after you observe the right of Allah is the right of leadership. The leaders and followers. Because that is what keeps a community together. But just going back to that idea of leadership, as Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he points out that leadership and that responsibility of the leader, says it is a test for those individuals. A test both for the leader and a test for the followers. It is a test for the leader because he has responsibility to be just, to be upright, to guide others. It is a test for the followers in that they must listen to what is correct. They must follow what is correct. They must follow the guidance. And because of that one issue, we see that we're sitting here today and every year mourning the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi afdhalus salatu wasalam. If you want to get to one of the real issues of our mourning of Imam Hussein, mourning of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wasalam, it's because of that issue. That the rights of the Ahlul Bayt were not observed. The rights of the proper leadership from Rasulullah and after Rasulullah was not observed. The Imams, they fulfilled their responsibility of guiding, of teaching, but who was following? Handful of people. In the time of Imam Ali alayhi afsalatu wasalam, that when this is so Imam Ali, he says, look, five people, like after his rights were used up, five people come, shave your heads, and I will take back my rightful spot as the wali, as the ruler of the Islamic Ummah. Who came? Few people. Salman Farsi came. Miqdad. Only a few people. Abu Dhar, yes. Handful of people. Not everyone came. He says, give me five people. At a time of Imam Sadiq alayhi afsalatu wasalam, an individual came from Khurasan. He says, oh Imam, that here we are your Shia. You have thousands of Shia in Khurasan. Rise up and take your rightful spot as the leader of the Ummah. Imam Sadiq, he says, you see this oven? He says, go in the oven. This individual said, if I go in Ephraim, I'm going to burn. At that point, the servant of Imam Sadiq came by. He told him, he says, go in Ephraim. Without question, he went in. This individual from Khorasan, he says, oh, he's going to burn. You're going to kill him. Imam Sadiq, he says, come out. When he came out, not even a hair on this individual's beard was cinched. Imam Sadiq, alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he asked, he says, how many Shia like this do I have in Khorasan? The individual said, wallah, none. Not even myself. Again, Imam Sadiq, he says, give me 5 people like this and I will take my rightful spot. Imam Hussein, alayhi afsalatu wasalam, only had 72 Shia to fight against an army of thousands. Look at the odds. The Imam of our time, he's asking for 313. We should ask, are there not 313 individuals who say that Ana Shi'at al-Ahl al-Bayt, Ana Shi'at al-Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ana Shi'at al-Husayn? But how many are like those companions that Imam Ali he asked for? How many are like those companions that Imam Sadiq was asking for? How many are like the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi afu salatu wasalam? Allahumma salli Muhammad wa Muhammad. If you want to sum up why we commemorate Muharram, is it so we can learn to be like those companions that our imams are seeking? So that we are observing the rights of our imams, that when they give us guidance, we follow that guidance. When they explain to us the reasons why we should establish the salat, and we should give the zakat, and we should give the khums, and we should go to hajj, we are doing these things. When they explain to us the reasons why we should observe the rights of one another, as a husband, as wife, as brothers, that we establish those things. This was the significance of also those companions of Imam Hussein. If you look at them, unfortunately we don't have the time to go into details about the life of each and every one of them. But if you read about their lives, that these companions, they were of that caliber of individuals. Meaning that they observed the rights of their leader. That if Imam Hussein asked them to do it, they did it. Because they understood that such a leader as Imam Hussein, such a leader as all of our imams, that they were individuals who understood their responsibility over the ummah. And we, if definitely as the Prophet, he says, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته, that all of you are shepherds and all of you have responsibility over your flock. In order to understand this, in order, if we observe that, then definitely we can observe the rights of the imam. Subhanallah, it is a great test. It is a great test. If you look at those companions of Imam Hussein in Karbala, one thing you should also observe, that their responsibility and their actions with their own tribesmen, with their own family, that how they interacted with them. And you'll see that yes, they, while understanding that there's an Imam al-Ma'asum and they must obey the commands of this Imam, but they themselves, being a leader or having some sort of responsibility over others, they fulfilled that responsibility. They fulfilled that responsibility. There were those who understood that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you some sort of responsibility, and that responsibility of a leader, Imam Zainul Abidin, he outlines it, he says that he is sa'isukum bis-sultan, wa sa'isukum bil-ilm, wa sa'isukum bil-mulk. He says that leadership, it has three categories. In three areas, there's responsibility. One is an authority, that either that leader, he has some sort of authority over you, or he's training you about the concept of authority, power, political power, some sort of position, or by virtue of knowledge, he has authority over you. Meaning that that individual is a teacher, that individual is some sort of guide. He's training you, he's giving you knowledge. Or that individual, by virtue of al-mulk, or property, wealth. There's someone who has money, wealthy. There's someone who's less fortunate. So therefore, there's some sense of authority with regards to your property, with regards to your knowledge, with regards to your position that you may have over others. And how well do you fulfill that responsibility? If you have authority, are you just? If you have knowledge, are you giving that knowledge? Helping others to improve themselves, helping others to understand their responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your responsibility to others. If you have property and wealth, are you fulfilling your obligation and duty of helping those who are less fortunate than yourself? Through sadaqah, charity, zakat, khums. Are we fulfilling those rights? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, he gives us a number of stories of how individuals, they deal with the position, but with authority. One is the example of Yusuf, another one is the example of Fir'aun. And I'm using these two examples because we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given both of these individuals a right over the same place, and that is Misr. That Yusuf at one point, he was the king, the ruler of Misr. And at one point, the Pharaoh, Fir'aun, he was the ruler of Misr. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this right, this responsibility, they approach it in two different ways. One approaches it as the wali Allah, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who understands that I've been given a responsibility and I must fulfill my duty with regards to this responsibility. And that's Yusuf. The other, look, this is mine, and everybody must acknowledge that. They must know that I have the power. Fir'aun, he states, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ قَالَ. Fir'aun, he called out to his people, stating, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكَ مِصر? Do I not own Misr? Is it not mine? My property? وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارَ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. He says, and all of these rivers, the Nile, the most precious of rivers, is, it flows beneath my feet. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. He says, don't you see? He doesn't recognize the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this in his hands as a responsibility. That he must be just among his people. But rather he feels it, look, this is mine. And I want everybody to know it. Just like sometimes, and unfortunately sometimes we get into this habit, you know, we may buy a nice new car, you know, Mercedes, Beamer, whatever it is. And then, you know, we go riding down the street and we kick back a little bit and we're like, yeah, this is mine. And I want everybody to know it. We're showing people, hey, you know what? You know, I just moved up. You know, I got that raise and, hey, man, look at me. But our attitude shouldn't be like that. Our attitude should be that, okay, well, if we got it, mashallah. It's a responsibility. If I got that raise and I'm able to afford that Benz, I'm able to build that extra room that I wanted to build, that means that, okay, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, but at the same time, He has given us more responsibility. Because of that extra money, that extra wealth, hey, I can help someone else out. I can do a little bit more to improve the situation of the ummah. Don't say that we can't have those. You know, we can have it. But there's a responsibility. And we must recognize that. And this is the attitude of Hazrat Yusuf. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power, the mulk of Misr, his statement was, قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي تَأْوِيلَ الْأَحَادِيثِ. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have given me power, you've given me this mulk, this kingdom. And you have taught me the interpretation of dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you are my wali. You are the authority over me. Subhanallah. Yusuf, he recognizes that, look, I'm an authority. Allah, you've blessed me with something. But even though I am an authority, I am a king, I am a ruler, you're the ruler over me. Tawaffani musliman. So when I leave this world, let me leave this world submitting to you. وَأَلْحِكْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And allow me to be among those who are righteous. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He gives you something, be humble about it. Understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this to you as a test. And as a means to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we don't understand that, that blessing, that ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it may take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One very interesting example. I think living here in America, we all recognize that, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of blessings and ni'mah here, a lot of wealth. Many people, they come to America every year just to earn more, to improve their situation, whether it's in education or whether it's through a job. Alhamdulillah. That's great. It's a ni'mah. But there's a responsibility also in that. And not allowing those things to take us off the path of righteousness, take us off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taking us away from observing the rights of one another. Take us away from observing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. It's easy to get lost into the glitter and the glamour and the wealth and the fame. Very easy. But understanding that we are ra'a, that we have responsibility, and responsibility over our flock, responsibility over those who follow us, responsibility towards those who look towards us for guidance. Whether we are someone who's studied in the house, or whether we are a parent, father, mother, whether we are older brother, whether we are an elder person in the community, that our younger generation, they look up to us and they want to see that, okay, how should we be? How should we act? And if we're not observing our responsibility to them, then, meaning if we go awry, we go astray, we do not do what we should be doing, they're going to follow. But if we're doing what we should be doing, they, inshallah, will also follow the right path. There's a very interesting video on YouTube. And this, it just shows the kind of ni'mah that we have here in America, to some extent, all of the technology, the wealth, but how it takes people away from humanity, from observing the rights of others. And if you get a moment, you should watch on YouTube. It's a short clip, and you can type it into search. Madness of a Lost Society. SubhanAllah. I'm sure some of you've seen it. Some people have seen it. But when you look at this video, that individuals are walking on top of other people just so that they can get a computer that's, you know, $190. That is normally $400 on Black Friday. But you think that, you know, where is humanity? Where are those individuals who should come out and say, look, this is wrong. This is not how we should act, not towards one another. Where are those who are in leadership that if they see that, oh, well, look, people, they need this or they want this, and it shouldn't be that we are, you know, taking or ripping people off in the first place, that, okay, this thing is really only cost me 25 cents to make, but I'm going to charge you $3 for it. So when it goes on sale for 50 cents, and hey, I only have 25, everybody's going to run and try to get it. That is a lack of observing the responsibility as leaders to ensure that not only that they are observing the rights of their followers, but also ensure that they are observing the rights of one another. Those type of frenzies are created because people are not observing the rights of one another. And then finally, oh, well, hey, I can now finally afford this thing, but it's only on this one day. And there's only a few of them, so hey, I have to be the first to get it. And if I have to walk on the back of someone, if I have to walk on their head, I'm going to get it. Something terribly wrong with that. And we see that many people, some people, are waking up to this. Some people are waking up and realizing that what type of leadership is needed, a leadership that observes justice, that encourages justice, that encourages others to establish justice. A leadership that also understands that, yes, sometimes people make mistakes, but they work towards correcting those mistakes and accepting those who have made mistakes. And not taking it against them, but truly helping them to turn their lives around for the better. And this is the type of leadership that we observe in Karbala. The type of leadership that we observe in Imam Hussein alayhi afdhal salatu wasalam. Most evidently displayed in Imam Hussein's interaction with Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. Hur, who stopped Imam Hussein on his way to Kufa. Hur, who Imam Hussein saved his life and saved the life of his men. But Hur took Imam Hussein to Karbala. And Hur knew that it was a trap, that Imam Hussein would not be able to go into Kufa, that the people of Kufa had betrayed Imam Hussein. But Hur was hired to do this task. And when the day of Ashura came and Hur, he realized that this battle was inevitable and that Imam Hussein and his companions would be slaughtered. Hur stood on the battlefield on that day, looking towards Imam Hussein's camp. He stated, أرى نفسي أخير بين الجنة والنار. I see myself at a point that I have to decide between heaven and hell. That if he goes with Imam Hussein, it is a path to paradise. But if he stays where he's at and fight against Imam Hussein, it is a road to hell. At one moment he departed from his companions. They asked, where is he going? Where are you going, Hur? He says, I'm just going to give my horse some water. But as he began to creep forward on his horse, he kicked his horse to go fast so that he would go to the side of Imam Hussein. Only a few people followed him, his sons and one of his servants, they followed Hur. When Hur came to Imam Hussein, he got off of his horse and he knelt before Imam Hussein. He asked that, oh, will you forgive me, Ibn Rasulullah? Will you accept my repentance? Will you forgive me for stopping you in this place, a place where you will be martyred, where war will be waged against you? Hur could be heard saying, أليتني خرست ولم أقول ما قلت. He says, only if I was a mute and I did not say what I had said to you to stop you in this place. يا ليت يداي ورجلي قد شلتا. Only if my hands and my legs were paralyzed and I could not do what I have done to you to bring you to this place. يا ليت لم أمنعكم من الرجوع. I wish that I had not prevented you from going back, from leaving from Karbala, leaving from Ard al-Tayf. And Hur, he asks Imam Hussein, he says, because of what I have done, allow me to be the first to sacrifice my life for you, Ibn Rasulullah. So when the battle started, Hur, he was the first one to go out onto the field. Hur, he went out stating, Inni ana al-hur wa ma'a wa'd-dayf. I am Hur, and I am the one who has brought this guest to us, about this guest to Karbala. Adribu fi a'naqikum bis-sayf. But today I strike your necks with my sword. Min khayri an khayri man halla bi'ard al-khayf. I strike your necks for the sake of the best person, the greatest person who has ever walked upon this land. Adribukum wa la ara min hayf. I strike your necks and I see no shame in that. I have lost nothing. I have lost nothing from my dunya, that everything has been given to me. And Hur ibn Ziyad al-Riyahi, he went out, he was fighting. He killed many men from the army of Ibn Ziyad. But at one point, Imam Hussein, he could hear Hur calling out and giving his last salams. As-salamu alayka ya abidillah. As-salamu alayka ya bani rasulillah.